Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. On my last podcast, I spoke very critically of the current Supreme Court, and I was talking about a recent decision to kick the can down the lane once again regarding a lawsuit that wanted to overturn the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, as it happens, immediately after that decision, the Supreme Court made another decision. This time, a good one. In fact, a great one, a landmark one. To be fair, I felt I should get right back to you immediately and comment on the good news, because the news is remarkably good. Some might argue miraculously good. Believe it or not, the Supreme Court actually sided with a Catholic foster agency. It was a 9-0 decision, which means the liberals on the court defended someone conservative and someone Christian. And of course, in as much as it was unanimous, that means the enigma Chief Justice Roberts also went along. Those are certainly some of the reasons why this was so noteworthy. But when you consider the subject matter, that they were not only defending religious freedom, but religious freedom in opposition to the LGBTQ agenda, which has so many people scared to death, scared to open their mouths, capitulating, rolling over, and playing dead, the decision is even more incredible. The case in question came out of Philadelphia, which wanted to exclude a Catholic foster care agency from the city's overall foster care program. They wanted to do this because the agency did not put babies into the custody of gay couples. This organization, called Catholic Social Services, said, and I quote, "Philadelphia's attempts to exclude the Catholic Church from foster care violated the First Amendment." On the other hand, let me read this quotation from the lawyers for the city. They said, "CSS lacks a constitutional right to demand that DHS offer it a contract that omits the same non-discrimination requirement every other FFCA must follow when performing services for the city." Ladies and gentlemen, I sure am getting sick and tired of hearing from people who claim to be against discrimination, all the while discriminating themselves. It is the height of hypocrisy, either that or the height of blindness. They were discriminating against religious freedom. Anyway, in a rare moment of courage and constitutional consistency, Justice Roberts' majority opinion read, "CSS seeks only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving the children of Philadelphia in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. It does not seek to impose those beliefs on anyone else. The refusal of Philadelphia to contract with CSS for the provision of foster care services, unless it agrees to certify same-sex couples as foster parents, cannot survive strict scrutiny and violates the First Amendment." Good one, Roberts. I have to admit, I didn't think you had it in you. All right, folks, this was good news, but it's not an occasion to relax with wishful thinking. Some of you are doing that. I know you are. Some of you are thinking, this is great. I guess we don't have to worry about the Supreme Court anymore. Oh, would that that were true. Yes, it is good news. I started by saying it's good news. No, it does not mean we shouldn't still be concerned. While it should be obvious when or when not a law violates our Constitution, the Supreme Court for many years has ruled as if it was rolling the dice. We should not have to be waiting with bated breath every time they deliver decisions from the bench, sometimes hearing a decision we like, sometimes hearing a decision that sets our freedoms back 100 years. The real problem is that the Supreme Court should never have been given this much power in the first place. Yes, sometimes it's benevolent. But what about the times it's unconstitutional and dictatorial? What about the times they rule in ways that cannot possibly be justified by the Constitution, even though they claim it's in there somewhere? To anyone who thinks the Supreme Court has a perfect, exclusively authoritative, unchecked understanding of our Constitution, I have just 3 words for you. Dred Scott decision, where the wise, insightful, legal scholars ruled that African American slaves were property. Still care to point to that court as a superior, unquestioned power? Newsflash. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. Nowhere. Don't bother looking. You won't find it. The purpose of the Supreme Court is not to interpret the Constitution. The purpose of the Supreme Court is to enforce the Constitution by being the highest court in the land when people can't settle disputes in lower courts. In all likelihood, many listeners right now are raising their eyebrows, even fellow conservatives, who sympathize with public reaction against judicial activism. Perhaps what I'm saying sounds too good to be true or too bizarre to be true. Certainly this position is out of the mainstream at our present time in history. If you asked most Americans, they would say it is indeed the job of the Supreme Court to interpret our founding document. So would most lawyers and certainly a good many judges. Yet some legal scholars would agree with me. Others might answer delicately, as law professor and talk show host Hugh Hewitt did when I interviewed him on my own radio show a number of years ago, asked if the Constitution never intended for the Supreme Court to interpret. He answered, "It can be so argued. Throughout history, majority opinion has often been wrong. Most people of the world accepted slavery for the greater balance of history, including, once again, the Supreme Court itself, but I won't belabor that point. And so, perhaps we would be well served to temporarily ignore public opinion and instead examine the testimony of facts from the past." The interpretation tradition in our country began when Thomas Jefferson refused to install some justices John Adams had appointed before he left office. Since the judges were never inaugurated, Jefferson didn't feel obligated to use them. His government was sued in a landmark case called Marbury versus Madison, 1803. Because this unusual situation had never come up in such a high-level, complicated scenario, litigation turned to the Supreme Court, which ordered Jefferson, via his Secretary of State, James Madison, to appear before them and explain himself. Now, I love this. Jefferson ignored them. Marbury, one of the justices spurned by Jefferson, referred to the Judiciary Act of 1789 as a basis for the court being able to issue such commands. Ironically, the court, after first showing sympathy to Marbury, pronounced a contradictory ruling. It decided that the Judiciary Act was unconstitutional because it gave the Supreme Court more power than the Constitution intended. So, even though the justices were sympathetic to Marbury and insisted the law set up by Congress was on his side, they ultimately ruled against him by deeming that same act of Congress to be technically unconstitutional. Marbury, according to the high justices, should have started with a lower court rather than the ultimate court in the land, and therefore they could not issue the verdict that both they and he wanted. This decision was actually a political stroke of genius under the leadership of Chief Justice John Marshall, who found a way to lecture and chastise his rival Jefferson without giving the popular president an actual court order that he would certainly refuse to obey. In short, Marshall devised a clever strategy to save face by having his cake and eating it too. Nevertheless, in calling an act of Congress unconstitutional for giving too much power to the court, this landmark ruling established a tradition about the Supreme Court telling us what the Constitution intended. Gotta see the irony. Now, here's the thing. Jefferson disagreed with the court's newfound powers, even though in this particular instance, the ruling was personally convenient, as now he did not have to appoint the justices. Jefferson feared that if this understanding of judicial power were accepted, it would be placing us under the despotism of an oligarchy. His words. Unfortunately, 1803, a year so early in the history of our republic, spawned a custom that we never quite shook. I am convinced this is based upon a mistake grandfather clause into a tradition that has taken on a life of its own. Today, we live in the debris of that fateful Marbury versus Madison ruling. Not only the Supreme Court, but other courts along the ladder make decisions to overturn the will of the people or the laws of Congress. A fair example from a few years ago is one of the most chilling of all. At first, the people of California passed a law stating that marriage would be defined as a union between a man and a woman. Then a court overturned the law, claiming it was unconstitutional. unconstitutional. So later on, in 2008, after some 7 million people passed Proposition 8, the California Constitution was actually changed. I went on the radio at this point predicting that somebody would find the amended Constitution unconstitutional. I said it in a way that sounded sarcastic and tongue-in-cheek, but I was also dead serious. Well, that is just exactly what happened. A federal judge declared the California Constitution to be unconstitutional. That is, in serious conflict with the federal Constitution, which, incidentally, says that our independent states have a right to make their own constitutions. The judge's rationale is that the state constitution violates federal rights, which must transcend all states and be true for all Americans, namely the promise for equal protection under the law. Other such rulings were also made, and the Supreme Court upheld these brilliant reasonings. Meanwhile, the will of some 7 million Californians and millions from other states with similar cases going on, making its way up to the Supreme Court, had been traded in for the opinion of a few judges. Now, I don't mean any disrespect for the honorable profession of magistrates. The Supreme Court is our third branch of government with an important role to play. When unusual situations arise, it falls upon the courts to apply our Constitution. I suspect that's what many people mean anyway when they use the word interpret, but it is a false idea that judges can legislate from the bench with unchecked power over the other two branches of government, free to overturn laws at will. Such usurping of authority was the farthest thing from the minds of our forefathers. The Constitution is a clearly written document. It had to be. The authors knew a whole country would be governed by it. They did not wish to confuse us. They did not write in riddles or parables. Neither is it poetry or symbolism. If we know how to read, we do not need anyone to tell us what it means. With all due homage to those who graduated law school, I have a message for everyone else. You do not have to be a lawyer to comprehend the Constitution. Most people will challenge you for having such brass, but Thomas Jefferson will be on record agreeing with you. You're not in bad company. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.